So a bullet point here is current strategies, both to investigate and to prevent. And I think you've spoken a little bit about investigation and the difficulties, but for all of us who live here, what about prevention? Do you have ideas about what we might do?
Well, yeah, let me hit a couple points on that. We certainly, we have one detective in the district who is the lead person who gets every burglary and coordinates and collects all that information. And she is responsible for the aftermath investigation. And there's a lot of investigative things that we can do and are doing. We have done a number of initiatives on overtime where we put out officers doing surveillance and plain clothes on foot patrol to try to catch people in the act. Obviously, that's a very challenging thing to do in terms of timing to get it right, but we are doing things like that. Another initiative we're doing this summer that some of you may have even been a part of is a notification process. Our other lieutenant, Tom Woodmansee, came across some research actually out of Manchester, England, where they determined that if a residential burglary happens here, the odds of another burglary happening within a certain area, about 400 meters, really increased dramatically. And so we've been going door to door, roughly into that geographic area, knock on doors, make contact, hand out some flyers to, you know, partially see if we can solve the one that happened, but more importantly, to try to really do some high-touch contact with people and get them to take some extra prevention steps.
I'd just add that just this week, one of our night shift officers on a more slower night was perusing the neighborhood and literally woke up five different households that had their garage door open at 2 a.m. So as much as that's not fun being woken up, in this area where we're seeing some more burglaries, we had to do it. And there are a high volume number of these burglaries in which either a door was left open, unlocked by accident. I mean, we've all done it, or a garage door has been left open, and it's easy pickings for kids walking through the neighborhood. So between that and then our CPT, our community police team, they don't go call to call like when you call the 911 center. They're more project-based. They've been on bicycles as well, and as the captain had said, doing some plain clothes work. So we're trying, and you know, when you go to the talk to various residents and the residents that have been here the 40, the 30, the 20 years, you really feel violated after a burglary, and you really feel you know, on edge if it's going to happen, if it's near your house, what's going to happen. And I can assure you that this West District is taking it very seriously because some of our officers have also been burglarized through this, and it makes us pretty upset, and we want to catch them, and we are doing what we can to do that.
Well, I mean, once you catch people, are they actually being prosecuted?
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, frankly, for these ones that we've just arrested that are juveniles, I mean, you know, they're not getting sent off somewhere in Dane County in the state of Wisconsin for a juvenile, you know, that's just not going to happen. I mean, they're going to have some sanctions, they're going to have some intervention, they're not getting sent to a pond. And unfortunately, one of the other dynamics we deal with here in Dane County is a significantly understaffed district attorney's office, and you know, rightly or wrongly, they have to prioritize what they spend their time on. And burglaries are not high on their list, unfortunately. And I'm not here to defend the DA's office, but I'll tell you that, you know, their numbers are consistent with where they were in the mid-80s in terms of how many of the prosecutors there are. And if we were at that significant ratio for MPD, that would mean we would lose about 150 police officers. So they are, it's inexcusable the staffing levels that they have. But I will tell you that I can't say there's been a burglary case where we've made an arrest and I feel that it's been mishandled by them. So that's not what's driving this, I don't think.
So one of the things you mentioned as a risk is having a garage door open. tell us some of the other risks, other things that we ought to be doing. And for that matter, let's say that that I'm walking down the street and I see somebody's garage door open and I know who lives there. Should I call them?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I could sit here all night and give a bunch of prevention tips. I'll try to just hit a few that I think from what we're seeing recently are the most relevant ones. Mike just hit it right in the head with the open garage doors. A number of these are entries either into the garage or into the home through the garage. We are seeing a number of times the forced entry burglaries, often like through a back patio. And literally the suspects are breaking through a back patio door, usually just with a rock or something like that, and taking things that they can see through the window. You know, iPhones and iPads are high on the list. So not having valuables laying out visible. So we're not seeing burglars that are going in, spending a lot of time, taking televisions and looking for the most expensive things. They're looking for the things that are most easy for them to sell, to get rid of. So we're not dealing with a bunch of sophisticated master thieves here. Just a couple other things that I will add in terms of prevention. I know it's tedious, but take the time to write down all your serial numbers. If you tell me that your iPad got stolen, you know, there's a lot of iPads out there. But if you give me the serial number, Madison has a secondhand ordinance, so all the pawn shops, when people take stuff into the pawn shops, they have to do paperwork that comes to us. It's all computerized now. And so if we have serial numbers of things that get taken, that is a huge advantage to us investigatively, and not having it is a huge hindrance.
It'll also help you with your insurance claim.
Just a couple other basic things. Keeping the exterior of your home well illuminated. If you have trees and shrubs, try to prune them back so there aren't places where people can be concealed around the house. Think about motion detector lights. And, you know, probably one of the most important things is know your neighbors. So if you see something going on at your neighbor's that doesn't look right and doesn't add up, call us. Because if you know them, you'll know what's out of place. You know, when you see people going through the neighborhood doing things that are unusual or just suspicious, call us so we can come out there and try to make contact.
Can I just add a couple things?
Please do.
Someone just came up to West PD today to say they're going on vacation. They're going to be gone for a week. We sent an email out to the 90 officers that work in our district and say, hey, they're on vacation, just for some extra patrol and to know it. But one of the things I like to do when I'm on vacation is everyone puts a timer to the lights, okay, it's on a pattern. But some of these burglars are either going up to the door first, they're knocking on whatever. Put your radio on a timer and blare it. It's not going to, not to the point where you're annoying the neighbors, but if someone's near the door, it's going to sound more lived in, and you just can't get to the door if they were to ring it because the music's going or a TV. If it's a long time, I'd recommend the radio. But just some of those things. And it is so frustrating as a responding officer to go to a call where people were worried to call 911. Well, you're paying good tax dollars out here in Orchard Ridge. I would imagine everyone would raise their hand to that. You're paying for the 911 center. And we're not saying call over every lost kitten. But when you see something that doesn't fit right with you, and the case I always love to point out is the bank robbery over on Odana Road. The guy backed into the stall. As he was walking, he puts his ski mask on, goes in and robs the bank, comes out. When officers got there, one of the witnesses said, well, I thought something was weird when he backed into the lot or into the parking stall and put a mask on at a bank. So you have to call us. Yeah, there's clues. And you never know where a cop is. We don't have, we're not robotic where we have to be on a certain street at a certain time. So you don't know if one is two blocks away and doesn't mind just swinging by to check out the guy's legs dangling outside the window.
Here's an interesting question. If I come across a youth going through my car or garage and the youth runs, and I catch this kid, can I physically restrain him or her until the police arrive from my phone call?
Well, here's my my take on that, is that the state of Wisconsin has case law that provides authority for citizen arrests under certain circumstances, and generally that's for felonies or misdemeanors involving a breach of the peace, is the artful term that the courts have come up with over the years. And so if somebody is committing a burglary, that's certainly a felony, which would provide the citizen's arrest authority for you to use reasonable force to restrain someone who's doing it. Now, I'm not here to tell you that that is necessarily a good idea, but I think legally, if you're dealing with a felony offense, you're within your rights to do so.
I think for me, it would depend on how big the kid is, whether he's alone. And I would certainly say if there's even a chance that you could get hurt doing it, it isn't worth it.
I have a question regarding personal safety and that issue that happened with the dog. A week and a half ago, where a 69-year-old man was walking down Schrader Road and attacked by young kids, middle school age, 5 kids I think it was, beaten up at 7 in the evening. Daylight. Can you comment on
Well, yeah, that certainly is disturbing to all of us because of just the random nature of it and the age of the victim and the just sort of senselessness of it. We did make arrests in that case, and the suspects were arrested. That is certainly an extreme aberration. You know, it's remarkably uncommon. I mean, I can't think of the last purely random physical attack that we've had in the district. I mean, so a true physical attack from one stranger to another just out walking are extraordinarily rare. So I'm not a mathematician, but I think probably the odds of, you know, getting in a car accident or getting hit by a bus are greater than that happening. Like I said, I live in the district, and I'm very comfortable going out walking, and I don't want to give the impression that you shouldn't feel safe out walking because of this one aberration.
You know. Did you comment for those gang monies, or was it gang related at all?
I don't think we have any indication that it was gang related or any sort of initiation. Just senseless, more than anything.
But if they're juveniles, then nothing will happen. They can go and do anything else.
Well, you know, I won't say that nothing's going to happen, and the justice system is going to treat violent crimes differently than property
more strictly
crimes
than they would a burglar.
Yes.
There would be a higher priority in the district attorney's office, but still, they are youth. And the attitude in Madison towards youth is generally pretty lenient unless they're really violent or repeaters. And as was already brought up, the district attorney's office has just a limited amount of time. So if there was a youth that was arrested, even if he's a repeat, even if it's violent, the chances are very good that if that child is represented, there would be a plea deal. And there might be consequences, but the kid isn't going to be put in a juvenile detention center or anything. He's going to be maybe supervised or have to take some sort of a program to learn more about how to control his or her behavior. But that's a community standard. That's not something that the police really control. I think we all know that the police function is not prosecuting, it's arresting. The decision to prosecute does not lie with the police department.